The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The news cycle is dominated by a series of crises, each worse than the last. And many of these stories are the direct result of a failure to address significant issues from the past. Jonathan Healy has been looking at how overreaction to a crisis can actually bring its own problems.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
I'd say more than likely we are not going to make our flight. It's just appalling. It's appalling. It's a disgrace.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't think our flight's not till 3. And judging by this, it's going to be 2 hours minimum to get to the door.
It's not like they didn't know the summer season was coming.
It was a story that no one really had predicted, especially not the Dublin Airport Authority.
This is a national embarrassment. There's no two ways about it. This is the shop window for our country. And we're making idiots of ourselves in that shop window.
We have all seen these chaotic scenes. 50,000 people yesterday. And you don't know what caused these delays. People have missed so many flights. We don't know how many people have missed flights.
The queues at our biggest airport were embarrassing and made headlines around the world.
There were seemingly endless lines of people in front of Dublin Airport on Sunday as hundreds queued to enter.
We got in there early, so we got about 4 or 5 hours, so hopefully we'll make it.
We were waiting for 4 hours in line and then we missed our flight because of it.
All because the public, naive fools that they are, wanted to fly sooner than the airports apparently wanted them to. Because otherwise, they'd have obviously hired back the staff they'd let go when it was opposite day and the airport was deserted.
We're still trying to get the operation up to where it needs to be. We're trying to get staffing levels where they need to be. So when things go wrong, we've got the potential for what happened yesterday. It fell down yesterday. We apologise unreservedly.
Dublin Airport's excuses fell on deaf ears, but it's worth mentioning that our capital city wasn't the only international hub impacted by a post-COVID rush for the exits.
There is no one to give information. The lines were disorganised. Getting to passport control was horrible because people were dying of thirst. Children were crying and no one attended to us.
What was unusual was the apparent stupidity of the crisis. We knew there would be flights, yet the airport knew it wasn't ready. How could those in charge get it so wrong? There are many reasons, but sometimes the obvious isn't one of them. Here in this country, we've been here before.
Well, I'm not aware of it, nor is Noel, and I've spoken to Brian Lennon today.
The Irish state is fully funded into the middle of next year.
2010. And the biggest humiliation in Irish political history.
Is it just total fiction?
It is fiction.
It had become abundantly clear that the economy was in trouble. The banks were in tatters, the country hemorrhaging jobs, and, more importantly, credibility. But it was only when a few lads with briefcases turned up on Merrion Street did those in power accept reality.
You're in a crisis, and you've got the tick-tock of $1 billion a day leaving the banks.
The priority became to address that hemorrhage.
So the Troika arrived in Ireland in December 2010, made up of the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and really importantly, the IMF.
The IMF was in the mix because it had long and deep experience of these kinds of crises and of these kinds of programmes.
Of course, the Troika and their 85 billion were only needed because of Ireland's obsession with property. We had too much of it, and it was distinctly overvalued.
I'm in Southern Ireland, on the outskirts of Cork, on an idyllic street in a wealthy neighbourhood. But the story of financial ruin lurks just around the corner. Not one of these houses is finished. It's as if the builders dropped their tools and walked away in the middle of the project. No one looks out of these windows. A ghostly feeling pervades this place, which is in fact called a ghost estate.
So how then did we go from a position where we had too few houses to not enough? A country that was awash post-crash with properties going for a song to one where well-equipped sheds could command high prices.
Now the boom is back.
Oh,
a
God.
New report has housing prices in Ireland rising by €100 a day.
Just think about that for a second. When I saw that yesterday, I was like, what? Sorry, what?
This government is acutely aware of the need to significantly increase the provision of housing to meet the needs of our people.
A
And you can't actually spoof your way out of this one, because I have a reply from your minister dated the 21st of this month, which makes it clear that the sum total of 8 affordable homes for purchase will be delivered by the end of this year. 8.
The common theme between the housing crash and the far less serious situation at the airport was overcorrection. Something catastrophic happened, everyone panicked, and we felt the outcome on the far side in a way that probably could have been avoided. But because of a series of unfortunate events that would make Lemony Snicket's jealous, it looks like it's all about to happen again.
So with cost push inflation, what happens is that the price of your inputs or your raw materials goes up over time. And that could be because of anticipated events or unanticipated events. A good example of that would be, say, what has happened to many of the world's economies coming out of lockdown. And on the back of that, we've seen a lot of supply chain bottlenecks. We've seen a rise in shipping costs.
For the past few decades, inflation hasn't really been a thing. It was there, but very manageable. And now it's roaring back.
Good evening. In a cruel byproduct of surging petrol prices, the pain has spread well beyond the pump into almost everything we buy.
Diesel now costs too much for transport companies to absorb, and the shock will be felt in household budgets as the cost of living spirals to new highs.
If you have a tyre blowout, that truck goes to work for the week for nothing. That's how tight the margins are. So when fuel goes up, we've got to pass it on. We can't absorb. There's no safety net in terms of margins.
Presumably, given also the variety of goods you're transporting, all this stuff means inflation for everyone.
Yeah, of course, me included, you included, you know, literally everyone.
The war in Ukraine, let's not forget a wound inflicted globally effectively by one man, has plunged Europe into an energy crisis that has only started to play out. Prices will continue to rise at the pumps, inflicting pain on all of us and increasing costs across society. And that's before interest rates rise and the cost of paying for those expensive houses starts to rise again. Ireland could start to condition itself by accelerating green energy, but the pace of rollout is painfully slow. It's about to get much worse before it gets any better. And every crisis as a result will be amplified.
Now, it's one of the world's most important shipping routes, and it's blocked. A giant container ship ran aground in the Suez Canal after losing power. And at around 200,000 tonnes and over 400 metres long, the container, well, it's going to take some shifting. 50 ships a day normally pass through the canal, carrying 12% of the world's trade. So the pressure is really on to get her refloated.
Another international example, the poor old Evergreen, getting wedged in the Suez, compounding the international supply chain in the middle of COVID and costing $9 billion a day. We have to assume that every issue will be overanalyzed in the months and years ahead, causing knee-jerk reactions and affecting decision makers in ways that cannot be predicted. Ways that will have an impact in the future.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. I thought I'd better come out and say something because I could see that you were all in a great mass here, and I apologise for being slow with coming down. You know, you want to ask my views on Europe, don't you? Let me tell you where I've got to, which is that I've made up my mind.
British Prime Minister, at least for now, Boris Johnson, sealing his fate by signing up for Brexit.
Boris, do you remember pledging £350 million to the NHS? Would you like to sign my rather large cheque? Why not?
Because you're doing a pointless stunt, that's why.
They never found that money for the NHS, and Brexit continues to do nothing but damage Britain's economy. At least they can read their blue passports while waiting in those airport queues, fantasising about a pint in a glass with a crown on it. As global problems mount, we need to tread carefully. What governments do today could have unintended consequences tomorrow. Our next crisis could be just one terrible decision away.
Pack up, let's fly away.
Pack a small bag.
Yeah. And will that speed your passage? I don't know. That report from Jonathan Healy.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.